The Essential New York Times cookbook, The Recipes of Record, remains a one-of-a-kind overview of American food culture as viewed by decades of Times food writers and editors. And now, the book also reflects how Americans cooked during the COVID-19 pandemic and how extraordinarily diverse American food really is. The cookbook stands out as the kitchen classic that addresses how our world, along with the Times food coverage, is changing in the 21st century. The new recipes in the edition, there are 120 of them, aren't just more culturally diverse and memorable. They're more suitable for the home cook and make use of ingredients that are now easy to procure thanks to the internet. Amanda Hesser is a Times food columnist, the author of the acclaimed Cooking for Mr. Latte, which I think she may be doing now, and co-founder of the immensely popular cooking and home site Food 52. The new book is The Essential New York Times Cookbook, The Recipes of Record. And Amanda Hesser, we welcome you to the roundtable. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me.
Very nice to have you on the program. So what was different about putting this one together as opposed to the one that you worked on 11 years ago?
Well, anytime I have a chance to dive into the Times recipe archive is a treat because, you know, the Times has been covering food for over 160 years and has been, you know, really, it has done so consistently and continue to evolve their coverage. So it's always fun and interesting. I think what was particularly exciting past decade is that the Times launched its cooking app. They really doubled down on cooking and cooking coverage and really focusing on the needs of the home cook. And so there's just been it's really flourished. There's been a ton of new work and a lot of new writers and a lot of new voices and also just, you know, recipes and cooking styles and cuisines that have become more, you know, more in focus than they were previously. And I think that, you know, you said something in your intro about, like, you know, American food or Americans, you know, eating more diversely. I mean, they always have. It's just that this hasn't always been written about very, very well or very comprehensively. And I think that the Times is making a real effort to do that. And so, you know, in this edition, you know, there's like everything from, you know, Southern macaroni and cheese, which is an amazing recipe, to, you know, to gazpacho, to a, you know, Chinese stir-fried tomatoes and eggs, to, you know, kimchi fried rice. There's just a real, really great kind of span of cuisines and flavors. And, you know, I found it really exciting to cook from the, you know, the Times cooking, you know, NYT cooking, and I'm hoping that other readers will enjoy it as well.
The subtitle, lovingly revised and exceedingly cookable. So, at what point? When did we first have a New York Times Essential Cookbook?
So the first edition that I did. Well, actually, let me go back because when I first started working on the first edition, which was I started working on it in 2004 because at that point I was a reporter at the Times, and we were doing a ton of like food and restaurant and, you know, food industry coverage, and I thought, you know, the last time the Times had done like a really big book was Craig Claiborne's New York Times cookbook, which came out in the 60s. And I thought, well, you know, so much has changed in American food and how we write about food and what we're cooking in, you know, what the average person's cooking at home, that it felt like time to revisit. And what happened was that when I started to work on the first edition of this book, I realized that the Times had actually been writing about food since the 1850s, and there was a treasure trove of great content that really hadn't been unearthed in many, many decades. And so the first edition of this book came out in 2010, and it covered essentially, no pun intended, you know, recipes from the 1850s until 2010. And then around 2010 is when the Times launched its NYT cooking app, and that's when really, like, their coverage exploded, and that's why I felt like, you know, now 11 years later, it felt like it was time to do a new edition that really reflected the great amount of more recent coverage.
For you personally, what do you learn going through the archives? Because that sounds just like the coolest thing, to go through these archival recipes from the 19th and early 20th centuries and seeing what was up.
Well, on one hand, you know, I found myself feeling like, wow, cooking seems a lot sort of easier because, you know, we just, everything was from scratch, you know, in the 19th century. And, but at the same time, I also was struck by how timeless so many things, so many flavors and so many kind of cooking techniques are, and that this yearning to eat well at home and to be able to become a better cook and to follow your curiosity in the kitchen is something that is just innately human, and that doesn't change over time, and that you can see that in the 19th century archives, you can see that in the 1960s, you can see that now, and that's, you know, I feel like it's kind of grounding, and also kind of comforting to know that we're all part of this this kind of ongoing narrative about how we feed ourselves.
So when you look at the recipes that have been added, how would you, what would rise to the level of you saying to yourself, oh, this needs to go in now too?
Yeah. Well, I did it in a couple of different, you know, I went about it similarly with the first edition a couple of different ways. I didn't just, you know, it wasn't just based on my opinion for sure, because, you know, I'm just one person with my own limited perspective.
You in charge.
With the first, with the first edition, I actually asked readers. I put something, a call out in the newspaper and in the magazine, and said, you know, and it was titled "Your Most Famed Recipes," and I got thousands and thousands of recommendations, and that actually formulated my sort of first cut of recipes. I cooked the 400 most recommended recipes, that sort of created the foundation of the book. And then, you know, obviously with things that were, you know, before the 1960s, there weren't really many of those readers alive to, you know, recommend recipes anymore. So I had to do just kind of purely on my own. And then with this new edition, the beauty of the internet is that, you know, it's easy to track like what is resonating, right? Because you can see through, page views, or you can see through recipe likes or saves what are the most popular recipes. And so the Times, Emily Weinstein, who is the editor of NYT Cooking, she shared with me like their 200, like I think it was the 200 most popular recipes on the Times website. I used that as a one filter. And then I went to all, you know, about a dozen of the regular contributors and feature writers for the Times and said, I'd love to know which of your recipes are like you're most proud of, but then also what are your favorite recipes that just have been in the, you know, that either you've written about or that you know about. And then a third layer I reached out to other writers and editors and culture writers and had them read the book. And some of them were familiar with the Times archive, some were not. And I just said, you know, where are there gaps? Where have I made a mistake? What is missing here? And so I tried to really, use my reporting skills essentially to try to make sure, broaden my perspective and try to make sure that the book really did cover many bases. Because even, you know, it's really easy for gems to sort of slip through the cracks or something to just get, you know, kind of fall by the wayside. And so that really helped me, I feel like, you know, put together this 120 recipes that feels to me like a really good, selection of things that, you know, we collectively, as home cooks have been thinking about and exploring over the past decade.
The book is almost 1,000 pages, and it's just filled with so much. And what fascinates me is that we think of this, when you say essential, I mean, it's one of those cookbooks that you would, that you almost need, right? That the home cook would want to have that represented to look for ideas, to look for inspiration, and also to look for sort of recipes, as you say in the subtitle, the recipes of record, much like the newspaper of record. Mm-hmm. These are the recipes of record.
Yeah. And, you know, sure. And that's something you could always debate, right? But I think that, you know, the way I thought about it and was like, I wanted all of these recipes to be things that, you know, felt like, you know, that anyone would be excited to cook and that they felt was something that they could accomplish in their own home kitchen, that they didn't need, you know, special gadgets or equipment or, you know, it might, you know, some recipes might mean, you know, trying out an ingredient you haven't had before, but that's to me like the fun and adventure of cooking. And I think that this is something that at times I feel like I've done a really good job of is really, highlighting, recipes from cuisines around the world, that, you know, are just really fantastic things that you may or may not have heard of and that, you know, could become part of your repertoire. And I think that that's to like cooking should feel like a journey and something like what I love about cooking really is that you never become an expert. You're always learning in the kitchen. And that's what makes it gratifying.
My understanding is that the writing of this cookbook led, or the first cookbook that you did, led to the creation of Food 52. How does that fit in?
Yeah, so, you know, my friend Meryl Stubbs, who I started Food 52 with, she also helped me with the first edition of this book, and we were both really inspired by those 19th century recipes and the fact that they were almost all of the recipes back then came from readers. And it was, you know, it was sort of an analog version of user-generated content. And you could see the power users. There are a couple of readers whose recipes you'd see over and over again because they were, you know, either competitive or they really wanted to show off their work just like somebody might do on Instagram now or on, you know, 10 years ago in a blog. And we felt like there, again, there was a sort of timelessness and then something really important about people's desire to share their work and their recipes and to look to each other to learn in the kitchen. And so that really kind of, I would say, emboldened us to create a cooking and home site and company that was founded on, you know, community-driven content.
Well, the new, just massive, beautiful book is the Essential New York Times Cookbook. It is out from Norton. Amanda Hesser is the woman who put it all together. Amanda, thank you very much for being with us. I so appreciate you sharing with us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
Be well. Thank you very much. Again, it's the Essential New York Times Cookbook, lovingly revised and exceedingly cookable, The Recipes of Record. It is by Amanda Hesser, published by Norton. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC Northeast Public Radio.